Hey, good morning, Bay Harbor family. We hope you're doing well. Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, welcome to church. This man, what you doing, bro? Man, you got somewhere to be, man? Get out of here, man. All right. Anyway, sorry, he got to go do his job. All right, good morning, Bay Harbor family. We hope you're doing well. If you are joining us online this morning, we welcome you to our house this morning, your house this morning, and we hope that you will just take a minute and clear everything off your table, finish eating your bowl of cereal, your grits, whatever you're eating, and get ready for an awesome time in the Word. If you're in-house this morning, let me hear you. All right, man, got some energy in there this morning. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. We are getting ready for a great time of worship and just giving God all we can in worship this morning. And just I'm looking forward to receiving from God this morning as well. I know if you're following the sermon series about others, a couple weeks ago, Pastor preached about receiving from God and receiving and taking just a minute and being able to receive. So this morning, I want to receive from God. I want God to bless my life, bless your life, and as we bless him and bless others. Man, it's amazing how the cycle just continues to go, isn't it? It's a good thing. But hey, before we get into it, got a few quick announcements. First of all, I just wanted to have a big thank you for the crew that came out Friday and Saturday. We it was a small group, but they come out and they worked diligently, worked hard, and they are scrubbing this place from top to bottom, from what I understand. And when I say top, they're starting on ladders and working their way down. So we thank you. If you're part of that group that's made it out the last few days to do that here at the house, we thank you for that. If you see somebody you know did it, give them a high five and just tell them thanks. Also want to remind you that this coming Wednesday, there will be no dinners being served. I know it's a shame, but we're going to take a break. We're going to give the kitchen crew a break so they can spend some time with family and hang out and get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday that's coming up on the day after on Thursday. But we will be doing part four of The Art of Neighboring. And Brother Spence has been doing an incredible job teaching there with that teaching. If you have missed any of those, I recommend that you go back on the church app or our Facebook page, YouTube page, and go back and watch those series. Or they're incredible. Or we have a podcast. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you can go on our podcast as well. You can find it on the cast. I know it's on CastBox and on Apple Podcast, and just search Bay Harbor, and you can pull that up and listen to that as well. But you need to catch those. It has been a convicting, powerful, motivational series that we've been doing on Wednesday night. So take a minute and do that. Also, following the service this morning, what you doing? You got something to say? Following the service this morning, we got baptismal service. You got something to say, Pastor?
Following the first service, we got turkeys.
Oh. Yeah, okay, yeah, turkeys. Yeah, yeah. How's that work? Okay, come back here. So how's it going to work?
Hey, well, what we want you to do is we've got a turkey in a box that you can give away to somebody else. And so if you'll walk through the first room, we have those ready for you. You grab a box, grab a turkey, and walk out the door. So we've got 100 boxes that will represent 100 families that we want you to help us reach as we reach out to others.
Okay, so they're supposed to give them away.
Yep.
All right, you got that. So you come by, you grab a box, you grab a turkey, and you give that, you bless the family with it. So there's 100 of them. So that's after the first service and the second service, I believe. But after the second service, we will be going to the Wilson Pond for the baptismal service. I think we've got 8 or 9 people signed up to be baptized this morning. That's incredible. I better hear some clapping. There you go. Yeah, that's incredible. As they make their profession of faith public this morning, and you're welcome to join us with that. We'll be caravanning down to the Wilson Pond. If you don't know what that means, go down 82, take a left on Stafford, take a left on Cannon, land of Canaan Land or something like that, and you can find the pond at the back of the property. Or just follow somebody. But hey, I think we're getting close. Pastor Main and Praise Team are getting ready to lead us into a time of worship and just allow God to move in our life this morning. I'm gonna pray us out, or pray us in, should I say. Father, we love you this morning. Father, we thank you for the energy I feel in this place, God. God, that you are in this building, you are in the homes that are watching online, and God, your spirit is just hovering amongst us, God. Now, God, as we begin to worship you, as we begin to lift you up and give you praise for all that you are worthy of, God, I ask that you would just move in our lives, move in our midst. God, let us receive from you this morning. Father, we praise you. We give you glory for who you are. In Jesus' name. Let's worship God together, Bay Harbor family.
Come on, let's stand to our feet as we position ourselves to lift up a voice of triumph, a voice of praise before the Lord. 1, 2, 3.
Worthy, worthy, worthy,
give him praise. Because we serve such a good God, don't we? Don't you love him just for his goodness? His mercy never fails us. The goodness of God we're singing of this morning.
I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's lift our voices and sing all my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Surrender now, I give you everything.
is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. What a wonderful time this morning in worship. Thank you, Pastor Main and praise team. God is good. Even in the midst of the storm, we can still say God is good. We can still worship him and praise him because he is the on the throne. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has it all. Man, I don't know how it feels in the sanctuary, but in this room in that we're in right now, we're just in here worshiping God. Matter of fact, our guy passing the words out, he was just in it and got delayed on a few words, so not throw him on the bus, but it's just awesome that we can worship God even in our room. Father, you are amazing this morning, God, and I thank you that you are good. Thank you, Jesus. I got to get on the thing mid-service here. My bad, guys. I just got overwhelmed. If you are a guest for the first, second, or third time, if you'll look there in the chair pocket in front of you, you'll see this card. It says guest card. Or if you're watching online, if you'll just comment in the feed and let us know that you're with us, or if you go to our Bay Harbor app, which is, if you'll download that app, it's a great tool, but there's an I'm New tab there. We would love to connect with you, but if you'll take this card, if you're in-house, to the back of the sanctuary, we have a gift for you if you're a first, second, or third time guest, and if you're online, never know what you might receive in the mail if you just fill that card out. So do that. We want to know you're with us this morning and just want to connect with you. Also, here at Bay Harbor, we look at giving as an act of worship as well, and we make it easy on you. There's many different ways you can do so. But if you'll look there at the chair pocket in front of you as well, this card here, you're welcome to pull that out, and you can open it up and it shows different ways. It's got a phone number for text to give, or you can download that or do it on the app, the website, or the black boxes at the back of the sanctuary. Feel free to drop your offering or tithe in there as well. Online, bayharbor.cc/give, or our church app, you can give in that way. But we thank you for what you do. We thank you for what you give. And not just in finances. I said at the beginning of service, we thank the crew that come out and just spent some time here in the house of God cleaning this past couple days, and we thank them for that and just their servant's heart and what they do for us. But I'm gonna pray and we're gonna get right into the word this morning. I believe we're on part four of this series, Others, and I'm just excited about how God is gonna speak to this morning. Father, we love you and we do praise you. We thank you that you are good. God, we thank you that we can lift our hands and we can tell you are good because you are, and we thank you for that. Now, God, this morning as we begin to dive into your word and as we begin to dig in and to receive from you, God, I ask that you would just bless us. God, that you would open our ears and our minds, open our hearts, God, to receive everything you'd have for us this morning. God, we praise you. We give you glory for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
For being the good God that we know that he is. There is an excitement in the air tonight, today, and I am so grateful to see you. Thank you for choosing to come out and to worship with us today. We're seeing some faces that we haven't seen in a while. It's good to see you. We've got some of our college students are beginning to make their way back home. I'm glad that they know where we are and they still are able to make their way here. And also some of our family that has been at different stages of life. And I look over this way and we see the Clarks and Sister Mincy went to be with the Lord last week. We had a wonderful homegoing celebration for her yesterday, but it's good to see them in the house of the Lord today. So many other wonderful things that God is doing and moving. But I'm ready to get into the Word. As we look again at the conversation about others, today's sermon title is What's in Your Basket? What is in your basket? An important part of the story of Jesus feeding the multitude was the mention of the baskets of leftovers. It was 3:00 in the morning when a boy ran into his parents' room. He said, "Dad, Dad, there's a burglar in the kitchen eating mom's leftover chili." Dad said, "Go back to bed, son. We'll bury him in the morning." I don't know about you, but I like leftovers. The longer it gets in the refrigerator, the better it is. And for me, but it's interesting that when we look and see what it was that Jesus did, that in both accounts, the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, the people ate of the miraculous provision until they were completely satisfied. Yet there was an overabundance of supply for the crowds. What message was Jesus sending with the excess of provision for the crowds that day? And looking at this and exploring that question, we'll discover how that Jesus' message relates to us as we continue to reach out to others. So let's look. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 20 says that they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. The next chapter, verse 37, it says, they all ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. So what we see that in the 5,000, there were 12 baskets. In the 4,000, there was 7 baskets. Both of them combined together was a significant amount of food that remained that had not been eaten in the moment. And with this, it's not that they were just leftover scraps. It wasn't a matter of cleaning somebody's plate and putting it into a to-go box. This was untapped, untouched food that was not eaten in the moment that would be good for down the road. But the mention of leftovers by themselves is significant to me, because in this, in the very mention, that shows us 2 relevant truths that we, as we obediently minister to others, that we need to consider concerning Jesus' life. The first one is this, and I want you to get these today. This is a word for somebody who has been giving and giving and giving. The first truth that I want you to get is Jesus is always more than enough. The narratives are clear that Jesus did not struggle in trying to make sure that everybody had ample food to eat. Everyone was satisfied, and still there was more available. I'm talking about elastic pants full. I'm talking about they had so much that they were completely satisfied with not, they didn't have to worry about wanting something else. There was a complete satisfaction within them. They were that full. And the problem is that our familiarity with this in these stories leads us to really shut down before we understand the magnitude of what Jesus did. Not one time did he feed thousands of people, but 2 times he fed thousands of people with a small amount. And when you consider that, not just that, when you add in the women and children who are not included in the original count, it even further magnifies exactly what Jesus did. It speaks to the power that he had. And he revealed himself that day as more than enough for the crowds. The crowds came to him because they were searching for something from Jesus. They weren't even sure exactly what it was that they wanted. They came because they heard that he was a great miracle worker and a great teacher. And they saw the teaching. And they heard the teaching and saw him perform the miracles. But Jesus wanted to reveal himself more than just in that. He wanted to show them that he was more than enough. So he didn't want to send them away. Compassion gripped his heart. And as we talked about at Sister Mincy's service yesterday, compassion is when my heart feels your pain, and I'm moved to do something about it. Jesus knew that they would faint along the way if he didn't make provision for them. So he sat down and supernaturally began to move in such great ways that he gave them the substance that they needed, not just for that moment, but for the strength that they needed to carry through the day. Jesus doesn't want just for you to experience just a touch of who he is. He wants you to experience more than enough. And the provision of food in that moment spoke a message to the crowd that Jesus is not just able to fill your stomach, but Jesus wants to fill your soul. And with every person that was there and ate on those 2 different occasions, Jesus was revealing himself to the crowds. But he also revealed himself to the disciples. To the disciples who came there with empty baskets. Jesus began to fill their baskets. They would take what they had and they would go to the group that they were assigned to. They would distribute the food out that was there. Then they would go back to Jesus and Jesus would one more time fill their basket. And this went on and on and on and on until every single person had what they needed. And in this, Jesus was letting the disciples know something that, wait a minute, you can come to me and receive from me and give out to others through me, and when you come back, I'm not going to be diminished in what I have the ability to do. You can keep coming to me because I am your source. I am a source that will not run dry. I am a source that will always be there for you. I am a source that has an overabundance of what you need from me, and that's the message that he was sending to the disciples. But these encounters aren't the only ones that we've seen God move in the overabundance. It's not the only time that there's been the multiplication of food that has happened to the multitudes. It's happened throughout time, and history records those because Jesus has always been more than enough. We see it as we begin to look in Exodus chapter 16, that as the children of Israel were pulled out of the promised land, they were pulled out with nothing. They came out of Egypt with empty baskets, if you will. Their supply had ran out, but yet there was something in the midst of it, that in the midst of everything that was going on, that one day they were complaining because they didn't have any meat, and he blew a whole bunch of quail their way that was so thick. But then there was this act that would happen, that every morning when they would wake up, they would go out and on the ground would be manna. They would take their empty baskets and would fill their baskets with manna that would be the daily provision than what they needed. This happened every day except for on the Sabbath day. And the day before the Sabbath, they would go out and there wouldn't just be enough for that day, but there would be more than enough for that day and the Sabbath day. So if you will, there would be a double portion of what they needed because he's always been more than enough. When we look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44, we have an encounter with Elijah. This is a time where things were going rough within Israel. They didn't have much food, but yet there was a man who dropped off some grain, and he dropped off 20 loaves of barley. These barley loaves were small and insignificant. Those were the ones that you would often feed to the animals, but yet here they were. And Elijah spoke to the servant. He said, "I want you to feed my prophets with this food." And the servant said, "But there's 100 of them and there's only 20 of these small rolls. That's not going to be enough to feed all of them." And Elijah spoke again. He says, "Again, I tell you to feed the people with what's in front of you, for thus saith the word of the Lord, you will feed them, they will all have enough to eat, and they will also be leftovers from what I am providing." And the word of the Lord came true, just exactly what it was said. And when they ate, the word says that they had plenty to eat and there was some left over. God has always been the God of more than enough. And so when we look at the beginning of 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with the first verse, going through the seventh verse, we see yet another encounter of the multiplication. Here we have a woman who found herself in a difficult situation with in her life. Her life was completely lost, and she came with an empty basket. The creditors, her husband died, and her husband was one of the prophets. But yet when he died, all of the bills started coming in, and there was no way of stopping it all. And she lost everything that she had, and they were threatening to take her children into slavery in order to pay off the debt. In that, there was fear, a fear of the future. What would happen to me? What would go on within my life? And she went to the man of God, and she said, "My life is completely empty. Don't you know what's going on? They're coming, and they're going to take my children. Do you remember that my husband was one of your servants?" And Elisha spoke up. He said, "What do you have in your house?" She says, "I don't have anything but a flask of oil. I don't have anything but a pot of oil." And the man of God said, that's all that you need. Sometimes when it feels like we don't have anything within our lives, that we fail to realize that what we do have is what we need. In that moment, that flask of oil represented the provision of God. It represented the promise of God. And it also represented the Holy Spirit of God. And so what she had in her house, though it didn't amount to anything monetarily or materialistically, what she had was all that she needed, because what she had with that flask of oil was more than enough. It's more than enough to meet the need that we have. When you have Jesus in your life, you might not have much on the outside, but you've got everything that you need. He is your supplier. He is the one that's able to work within your life. She said, I want you to, the Lord said, I want you to go and I want you to get all the vessels that you can find. Go get all the empty containers that's in the neighborhood. Go ask your neighbors. Go ask their friends. Go ask everybody that you can. She sent her boys out to do it. And the word of the Lord was is that when you come and you get those containers, come in and shut the door behind you. What's going to happen? I don't want everybody seeing what's going to go on, but I want you to do it. She began to pour the oil. There was just a little bit of a flask of oil was all she had. And as she began to pour it, that she poured and poured and poured. And she filled one to the brim. She went to the next one and filled it to the brim. She went to the next one and 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 the next one. Finally, she got to the end and she said, give me another basket. Give me another vessel. And the boys said, there aren't any more. We don't have any more. And at that time, the oil stopped flowing. What that represents to us is the fact that the God that we serve is the one who is more than enough. In that moment, what was just one flask of oil filled up the entire neighborhood. Our responsibility is not to worry about what we have to give to somebody else. Our responsibility is not to worry about the ability that we have. It's not to make excuses for what might happen. Our responsibility is to pour out what He's given us. And in the midst, as our lives are being poured out to Him, there's something that will happen. He will fill the entire neighborhood with what needs to happen. Sometimes we get so concerned about what we don't have and what we don't see that we fail to realize who our source is. And we've got to hang on to what we have, because what we have has got to last us a little bit longer. What He's saying is that if you will empty your basket out, I will fill it when you need it the most. When you empty your baskets out before me, I will fill you with what you need to do what I've called you to do. There is always enough and more to go around. The second truth that I want you to catch today is this. Jesus will never forget about you. Jesus will never forget about you. The disciples showed up both times with empty baskets. How you know, Pastor? Because the first time, they couldn't even find any food. The second time, wherever they found it from, was just 7 loaves and a few fish, wasn't enough to feed 12 men. So they came empty, and they were drained. They had been on nonstop ministry tour with Jesus for a long time, and they were exhausted. The other day, I had a strange thing happen to me. Before the first service even started, I was in my office, and it was dark. Jennifer came in, and it just came out this way. I said, Jennifer, I feel depleted and defeated. I know the preacher in me with alliteration, but it just happened to come out that way because that's the way I was feeling. Depleted and defeated. And I say that, I'm hesitant even saying something, because I'm not searching for empathy from you or sympathy from you, but I want you to know something that we can relate, because I'm not the only one that feels that way. That here I was, and there's nothing wrong, and I'm blessed with a lot of wonderful people around me, But there was something in that moment, and later through the week, I began to find out that God is pulling me to a place to where I do feel alone, but he's working through it. He's doing something in the midst, because often it's during those times that he reveals himself the most to us. But you can't help the way that you feel. And that sometimes that you've given so much to so many that you wonder, God, when is the time going to come for me? When's it going to be my turn to experience something? And we wonder. There was a man that was going through the Navy SEALs BUD program. And there was an infraction that he had committed. And so in the process, one of the instructors pulled him away to the other side and went to a room by himself, and he instructed him to do 8-count bodybuilders. Now, that's like a modified torturous burpee, if you know anything about CrossFit. You squat down, you kick your legs out, you do a push out, you spread your legs out, you bring them back in, you go back down, and you stand up. Well, after he did that and got the man going, the instructor went back to the group, and while he was with the group, they finished the exercise mission that they're on, whatever he had them doing, and then they went to chow, and when they got finished eating, they went back and did a muster, and when they did the muster, they realized that they were missing someone. The instructor ran back to where the guy was, and this has already been a couple of hours, and thinking that he would find the man sitting down somewhere in the corner, he walked into the room and realized that this guy was still doing the 8-count bodybuilders. He had never stopped because that's what he was supposed to do. But there's no question about this. The instructor forgot about him. Israel found themselves there at one time. They had been exiled to Babylon because of they had rebelled against God. And in the process, they sat there and they thought that God had forgotten about them. In Isaiah chapter 49 and beginning with verse 14, it says this. Now God is reading their mail. This is what the word of the Lord came to Isaiah the prophet, but this is the Lord that's speaking. The Lord says, yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. He has forgotten us. While they were there in captivity, looking across the river towards Israel, they thought that God had left them there and forgotten all about them. Even their enemies would taunt them and say, I want you to sing some of those songs that you used to sing. But by this point, they hung their harps on the willows. They hung their praise up. They didn't have anything inside of them. But the Lord spoke to them. In verse 15, look at what it says. Never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. Let me read that. When you feel that God has deserted you or forgotten you, the Lord says, never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child that she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. He would go on to say that your names are engraved in my hands. And I've got great promises and blessings coming your way. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Because I have much more for you that is yet to come. Just within this week, I have experienced unusual things that have come. Through a text message one night, an email one day, a phone call another day, and even a handshake yesterday, there's been something that God does in reminding us that he is with us. With the supply of oil that the woman had, she was commanded to go. And this is what the word of the Lord said. He said, I want you to go and I want you to take the oil that you've been given. And I want you to sell what you have. And with it, I want you to pay off your debts. This was a debt that she could not pay in and of herself, but God's provision of grace to her made it possible for her to pay off her debt. But then it went on to say, I want you to live off of the overflow. I want you to live off of the leftovers. When we come to the Lord with empty baskets, he's there. And this is where it gets interesting to me in the story of the multiplication of food. They often would come with their own basket. If you'll notice the difference between Matthew 15 and Matthew 14. In Matthew 15, it said just a few words difference, but one of them was that there was seven large baskets of leftovers. The one word, large, because that was a different basket than was what in the previous chapter. The Gentiles would often carry, and we have mentioned this before, but they would often carry big hampers around with them. And so big enough for Saul of Tarsus to leave Damascus and be lowered down the walls of Damascus in. But they would have these large, and there were seven of them. And in Matthew's gospel, the seven would represent completion. So as they were ministering to the Gentiles, the message was being sent that there is a spirit of completion that I am doing. I am doing a work of completion within your life. But in the story of the 5,000, there were 12 baskets. 12 baskets, and this would be a wicker basket that would have a narrow opening, and it would get larger as it went down. But this would be such that no Orthodox Jew would walk around without having their basket. They would carry it with them everywhere that they went. And inside of it, they would have the provisions that they needed. Because there was no way that they were going to allow any unclean person to handle their food. So they carried everything that they needed with them inside of that basket. But yet when you hear the number 12, you hear the number that speaks and reminds them of the 12 tribes of Israel to this Jewish audience, but also to the audience that Matthew is writing to. But I think that there is something even more significant to it. There were 12 baskets because there were 12 men. Each had their own basket. But yet their baskets were empty. What about us, Lord? We have been serving these people. We have been doing this work. What about us? And you may be speaking that today. You're in your home and you're saying, Lord, what about me? Haven't you seen what I have done? The Lord would say to you, yes, I see the sacrifices that you have made. I see the service that you give me. I see what's going on in and through your life. And you need to know something, that I have seen it and I do not forget about it. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly what you need. And I'm not going to overlook what it is that you're doing. I will make provision for you. Remain faithful to me because I've seen the years of ministry. I've seen the toil of ministry that you've given, and I'm not going to leave you in the golden years. I'm not going to leave you. You've been faithful to me, and I've been faithful to you, and right now you're in a place of retirement, but I'm not forgetting you where you are right now. You, God, don't you see that I've been faithful in ministry, and I've done your work, but where is my position? When is my time going to come? The Lord says, I see and know where you are, and don't forget about it. Lord, don't you see that I've taken care of my parents, that I've been a caretaker for all these years, and I need rest myself? The Lord says, I know just exactly where you are, and I know what you're going through, and remain faithful to me because I'm going to take care of you. Wow. Don't you see the work that I've put in? And yet, I haven't received a promotion. I have given and given to this company. The Lord says, you remain faithful to me. I have you. There's an interesting phenomenon that would happen in Israel. As the disciples were there with their empty baskets, in Hebrew, it's called the pia. The little translation is corners. Two times in Leviticus 19 and Leviticus 23, we're told that when they would go out and harvest the fields, that they were not to harvest the edges. The edges or the corners, they were to leave. And if they dropped anything, they were not to pick it up, because those areas were reserved for the poor and for the foreigners. What Jesus was doing by refilling the baskets one last time was reminding the disciples of their need for him. You can't do what God's called you to do without Jesus filling your life. But as they would gather these, this would be called the pia. But it also became known that during festivals, that the servers who served the people who were eating, that the people who were eating were supposed to leave something in the dishes. You remember that there was an etiquette that used to be that you wouldn't take the last piece of chicken, or you would prefer it to somebody else as we were sitting around the table. It was believed that what was left was to be given to the servants as a way of a tip. Here recently, Donnie Wahlberg was hit the news because he went in Massachusetts to eat a meal. He got a steak, grilled asparagus, and poached eggs, a little over $35. But when he left the restaurant that day, he left a tip for $2,020. George Clooney has just come out that years ago, before he got married and had children, that he called 14 of his closest friends to dinner. And when he pulled them to dinner, he gave each of them $1 million in cash in a Tumi briefcase. And he said, I was going to put this in my will for you to have later, but I don't want that to happen. I want to enjoy this together with you now. And this was the reason. Because all of you have done something for me in my life. You have impacted my life in some way. I'm available for dinner tonight. But a pia was somewhat of a tip. And what Jesus was saying by leaving the leftovers was, I've made provision for you too. I care for you too. I know where you are, and I've got everything that you need. And I really don't think that they left. I think they ate, they were satisfied, and I think they continued to give away, because we'll see them next when they showed up empty again. That is our responsibility. Today, I want you to realize this. Jesus is always more than enough. And Jesus will never forget about you. Father, as we come in here today, we thank you for the power and the reality of your Spirit in our lives. And Father, there are some today that are in need of what it is that you have. There are some today in this room and watching online who feel as though that you have somehow forgotten about them. They have given out to others. They have emptied their baskets, and yet they don't have anything. And I pray that as they continue to come to you, that they will see your hand upon their life. Would you minister to them in Jesus' name? Before we go back into worship in the house, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning online, Bay Harbor family. I hope those words spoke to you this morning. Is that you? Do you feel at times that maybe you are forgotten? Pastor, he reminded us this morning, Jesus will never, ever forget about you. He will never forget about you. Know that. Know that he is there, even when you feel as if that you're there's nothing there. Do you feel like your basket's empty? Man, I love how he ended it just then. The disciples, they were able to get their baskets full. And then the next time they meet again later in the Gospels, you see their baskets are empty again. As Christians, it's our job that as Jesus fills us, we do continue to give out. and we do continue. And it's our desire. It's what we do. We want to serve. And times we can feel lonely, alone, depleted, defeated, and all that. But know that Jesus has you. So this morning, maybe you're watching online this morning, and we keep saying this name of Jesus, and you've never been introduced to Jesus. We would love to take a moment to introduce you to him. The number's going to be on the screen. You can call that number, text that number, and we can lead you to this awesome man named Jesus. And I say man, but he's also our God, and he can change your life if you never met him. And maybe the other side of spectrum, you know Jesus and you've given your heart to Jesus and he has filled you up, overflowing, and you're just at that moment in time where you just feel down and lost and empty. And we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to encourage you and help you through this storm. So let us join you. Let us join you this morning in prayer. Call that number, text that number, and we'll be glad. We want to, not be glad, we want to pray with you. We want to connect with you. I thank you for watching. We're going to transition back over into a time of worship as I believe they're worshiping inside the sanctuary and just allow God to seal it. But wherever you're at, just take just another minute in your home and just worship God. And please, when we put this number on the screen, it's going to stay on the screen. We mean that. We want you to call us. We want you to text us. We want to connect with you. We love you, family. Look forward to seeing you again.
Service is not an option for the body of Christ. Sitting back and not doing anything is not what God has called any of us to. And I'm cautious as I say this, because this does not mean that you always put the needs of others above yourself. But if you will seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, then he will take care of everything that you need in your life. I'm also hesitant to mention Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Because in the context, they're talking about judgment. When he says, give and it will be given to you. When you give, when you judge others, then judgment will come to you. But it also fits within us reaching out to others. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together.